We're starting with a pasuk that appears toward the beginning of the parsha, and the parsha says, "Parak vav pasuk vav eish tamid to kanal mizbeach lo sechfeh," that there should be a fire that's constantly burning on the mizbeach; it should never be extinguished. And that's the fire that we're talking about over here. This fire that should never be extinguished on the altar mizbeach. Now Rashi says in the previous pasuk, where it says a very similar lashon, that eish al mizbeach tu kadbol lo sechfeh, it also says that the fire of the mizbeach should be burning on it; it should not be extinguished. That there are three or four times where this part of the pasuk is repeated, where it says the words lo sechfeh. It should not be extinguishing. And the reason why is because it refers to a different fire that goes in the Mizbeach, each one darshan in the Gemara in Yuman, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. The three main stacks of wood were placed around the top of the Mizbeach itself. The Marocha Gidola was on the east side of the Mizbeach. There was one that was on the east side of the Mizbeach itself. Since it was the largest pile, all the korbanos were thrown onto that. That was on the east side of the Mizbeach itself. They threw two logs of wood onto it every single morning and every single evening. That's what they did every single time. Another stack of wood was placed on the southwest corner. That was in the southwest corner. This is the fire that was used to light the golden Mizbeach inside the Kodesh, which burnt the Ketores. That was the second one. So they used that for the golden Mizbeach. So again, so we have the southwest side. The southwest side, that's one part. There was another one that was supposed to be on the east side. That was the second one. Then there was a third wood pile that could have been anywhere. It didn't make a difference where it was. It could be set up anywhere for the Eish Tamid to be done. It would be the Eish Tamid to Kanal Mizbeach Lo Sichbeh. It could not be extinguished. They did not extinguish it. They made sure that it would never be extinguished. Rav Avigdor Miller says this mitzvah to keep the fire burning is quite obvious to all of us. The everlasting fire symbolizes what he calls, what we would call, the Shechina, which is always going to be with us. And therefore, Eish Tamid Kanal Mizbeach Lo Sechfeh, you can't put that out. The Shechina can never be gotten rid of. The fire was seen by Moshe Rabbeinu within the Sneh. That's the fire that he saw that became that Eish Tamid. This is by Bnei Yisrael on Har Sinai, when the Torah was given. And by the world at night, when you saw the pillar of fire that traveled in front of them, they traveled through the desert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as a consuming fire in Devarim Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chav Dalet. When we are mindful of him, when we're mindful of the Shechina and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu dwells among us, and he's an Eish Tamid that's with us at all times. Even when there are no korbanos to bring, says Rav Hirsch, even if there are no korbanos for us to bring, our minds should still be on him, which is in itself a real mitzvah. In fact, it's one of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidios, the first of those six. That's represented by this fire itself. That's an unbelievable idea that Rav Avigdor Miller says comes from this idea of Eish Tamid Tekanal Mizbeach Lo Sechfeh. Rashi says in this pasuk that this tam connects with the Tamid that's mentioned by the menorah, and that teaches us that the fire of the Mizbeach should be used to light the fires in the menorah. As we said before, that the light should be used from the Mizbeach, for the Mizbeach Hazav, so too for the menorah, and it should be Lahalos Ner Tamid, just like the Mizbeach had a Ner Tamid, the menorah had a Ner Tamid. That's brought in Yuma Mem Hei Amud Aleph as well. The Rambam says the same in Hilchos Tamid in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Gimel, that it must be lit from the outer Mizbeach, that the menorah had to be lit from the outer Mizbeach. The Raivan understands this from the Ner Maravi, that the Ner Maravi must be lit from the outer Mizbeach, and the Ner Maravi gave light to the rest of the menorah itself. And that idea, but not that you're not Yotze if you don't light it from the outer Mizbeach. That's how the Raivan understands. It's not that you're not Yotze if you don't do it, but you're Mevatel the Mitzvah if you take the fire from anywhere else. So you need not only by the Mizbeach Hazav, you also need by the Menorah, and you just missed out on a Mitzvah if you didn't do anything. If you take fire from anywhere else, you're just missing out on that Mitzvah. Ayelas HaShachar says it's confusing how to do this exactly. You're supposed to take a coal from the Mizbeach and then put it on. Now, if you're taking a coal from the Mizbeach and putting on the Mizbeach Hazav, not that big of a deal. You just take a full coal, make sure it doesn't go out, and you put it on the Mizbeach Hazav, and then everything's perfectly fine. That should make a lot of sense to be able to go through. But if you're talking about something else in some other way, where you're trying to take from one and go to the other, let's say you're going to the menorah, where would you put the coal? And the halacha is, as we're going to see later on, you're not supposed to take away the fires from the coal itself. You're not supposed to take away any of this stuff. Which means, if you're not supposed to take away any of these coals, what do you do with it? Are you supposed to put it right back? Says Rav Steinman, I don't know what you're supposed to do. It doesn't mention anywhere what you're supposed to do at that time. You can't put it in the Mizbeach Hazav, because that's not specifically used for that. You can't put it by the menorah, and you can't let it go out. So what do you do? Are you supposed to put it back on the outer Mizbeach? He doesn't know. The Chavetzelos HaSharon has about 12 pages on this, trying to explain what to do with these coals, the extra coals that are out there. An amazing idea. But either way, the Tam Vidas, Rav Sternbach says, the shot behind this, taking from the Mizbeach and putting it on the menorah, is that a Talmid Chacham's Torah, which the menorah know represents, the Torah that a person learns as a Talmud Chacham, should be learned based on his Mesorah, meaning based on something outside of him. He shouldn't just be making up anything. That's called a tower that's hanging up in the heavens. That's what Doeg Adomi and Achitofel, the evil people who have no chelik in Olam Haba, by Sholem Melech and by Dovid Melech, that's what they did. But rather, the fire should be taken from the outside. It should be brought in from somebody else so you understand what the Rabbanim are trying to tell you, etc. And then kept within. You save it within you so you think about it. You consider all different aspects of that Torah and then you're able to fire, put on the fire for yourself. The great Chachamim hid their greatness, and that's what it means, that it was put into the menorah that was in the Kodesh itself. And when they do so, the Torah will shine to those on the outside. It will be sent, seen by everybody, and everybody will know about it. That's the concept. That's the idea, says Rosh Schoenberg, what we're learning out from here. Victor Miller, again, he says, he learns from the fact that you can take the coal with you to the menorah, and that is part of the mitzvah itself, and thus you're not punished for it if you do so. Even when we're engaged in non-spiritual matters, even when we go to work and we have to do things that are not based on Torah itself, seemingly not based on Torah itself, we should never let it go out. We should just light something different. Take it from one and bring it to the other and allow it to be in another place so we can take it with us wherever we go, in all of our pursuits, wherever we go. It's all about lighting the fire again and again and again. That's how Victor Miller learns it. Yerushalmi Yuma, Parak Dal Halacha Vav, says the words Eish Tamid teach us there is a mitzvah asay to start the fire below, and then a Kadosh Baruch whose fire will come down from above. And we have that when you start the fire from down here, from human intervention, by making an actual fire, then the fires above will come down and greet us from above, which is exactly what happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When all the people were waiting for the Mishkan to happen for the first time, because Moshe Rabbeinu finally gave it over to Aaron after 7 days of doing the Miluim, etc. And Aaron came and he lit the fire on the Mizbeach itself, and from there, a fire from HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and lit that Mizbeach and came down. It was Dasan and Aviram. Nadav and Avihu, who came up with a concept to be able to bring it up from up above. That's the idea behind it. And says, the way the Yerushalmi says it, this fire must be constantly running, even on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, even on rainy days, even when all the Kohanim are Tamei and cannot bring any Korbanos anyway, they still have to make sure that a fire is brought from down below, so that a fire comes down from the heavens itself. It could be that it's even true when they traveled. And when they were going through the Midbar, they still needed a fire to be hitting on the Mizbeach itself. The Chizkuni says, the way they accomplish this, according to Rebbe Yehuda, that's brought by the Medrash itself, is that they put a metal cover over it so it would continue to burn. So too Yerushalmi Yuma, the Torah Tumima speaks about this. They go in, but it says that they would put something on top of it to make sure that it continued burning while they were traveling. They carried the Mizbeach. They actually carried the Mizbeach with them, and they made sure the fires kept going on it, so that the fires were straight onto it, coming straight down from Shemayim, and it never stopped because the metal was there to allow the fire to go up and allow the fire to meet it from down below, and it went with them. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason why we have a fire down below, even though a much bigger and greater fire comes from up above, what's the point? Don't need a fire down here if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing a fire anyway, and that's a much better fire. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants his miracles to remain hidden as if they're somewhat natural to us as much as possible. Therefore, we start a fire down below, we make a fire down here, and then the fire comes down from above. So it looks like it's our fire, but it's not. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fire, it's a miraculous fire, but that's not how miracles work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want miracles to look like it's purely from him. The only time people saw this miracle happening was three times. The first time the Mishkan's fire was set, by the times of where Nadav and Avihu made the fire down below, they saw the fire come down from the heavens. Eliyahu HaNavi, when he brought down the fire by Har HaKarmel to destroy the Ovdei HaBaal. And the third was seemingly by Gidon, and maybe by Manoach and his wife as well. When Gidon brought a korban, and Manoach and his wife brought a korban, and the Malach disappeared in the fire, it happened by them. I don't know why they don't say the first Beis HaMikdash. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a fire that came down from the heavens. It was not the same Mizbeach as they had in the Mishkan. So at some point, that would have switched, and there would have been a brand new fire that came down by the times of the Beis HaMikdash. He does not mention that, and I don't know why, but it seems to be strange. I would have said that was a fifth time or a fourth time, depending on how you consider Gidon and Manoach and his wife. But that should have been at least a fourth time, maybe even a fifth time when it came down. The Malbim says the word Tamid means three different things in the Chumash, and I think we understand that. Sometimes Tamid means constantly without stopping. For example, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Samid means always. You can never forget about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tamid, that's number one. Or number two, Tamid Einin Hashem Elokecha Ba. The eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu are always on Yerushalayim. That's number two. Number two, it could be that it's done at a certain time, like the Olas Tamid. you bring it every day, but you have to do it at certain times during the day. That's an olas tamid. And a third one is when we call it tamid ha'anan yechasenu, or aruchas tamid, a meal every day. Or the anan would always come to cover them during the day. So it's not a certain time, but rather once a day, or once a week, or once a month could be called tamid. This time, it seems to be used in the first sense, that the tamid has to be always constant, no matter what. The Talmud says, again, the lesson behind this, and why we're learning this, is that the fire had to be tamid even when traveling, and he understands, as if, because we know, there are some people, especially people among that, once they go on Bein Hazmanim, and they're on vacation, everything's off. Everything's off. When they're in yeshiva, or when things are going during this man itself, then they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. But all of a sudden, they're going to be more makel when they're on vacation. This happens by everybody. Everybody goes on vacation. All of a sudden, it's just like, well, we don't have to be as makbid as we normally are. Normally, we would do this, this, and that. But now that we're on vacation, you know, come on, I think we could do a little bit less. And the idea, says Rav Sternbach, is that that shouldn't happen. Now, there may be certain things that you can be lax about. Halachically, if you can't find Kol of Yisrael easily, and you normally are makbid and Kol of Yisrael, and you go to a place where there's not really Kol of Yisrael, then you could be makel. That's already part in the halacha based on Rav Moshe, right? Or even based on others, if you have no ability to be machmer, okay, what can you do? But there are other times where it seems you're being lax in things that should be min hadin, and you're being a little bit more makel on that, and that's the concept where Sternbach says we cannot let that happen. The fire must be constantly burning, it must be constantly going further and further. And of course, this was miraculous and absolutely amazing. But I always wondered another thing. I always wondered if maybe there was a covering to put over the fire so the fires wouldn't go out at all. I realized in the first Beis Hamikdash that the fires were going up from the bottom and that a fire met them from the heavens, so any rain wouldn't have affected that fire because there was a fire coming down from the heavens at the same time. And I totally get that. During the first Beis Hamikdash in the Mishkan, I'm not asking. In the second Beis Hamikdash, they still had this tzivui. They had to have an Eish Tamid constantly over that. I've always wondered, did they put something on top of the Mizbeach to protect it from the rain? Meaning, if you're bringing korbanos, you could still bring them and have a covering and have it go up and hit it, and then the smoke would go another way. Now, I know the smokestack is supposed to go straight up, but maybe in order to keep the rain from it, they did something to cover it up. I haven't seen it anywhere, and I haven't seen anybody that talks about it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There's no Gemara in the Yerushalmi that I've seen, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Maybe there is a Rishon that I haven't seen that says it somewhere. I would just like to see that, but it seems obvious that they did. I thought that Yerushalmi that said there was a metal cover on it while they were traveling, maybe that metal cover was used during the regular times as well, when it was raining, pouring, which it does in Yerushalayim, which we know it does in Yerushalayim, maybe that happened over there, but I have no raya. I don't have a raya for that. Rashi says, lo sichbe means, if you extinguish the fire, if you take a coal, take it off the thing, and you extinguish it, you make it go out, you are over on two laven. One in this pasuk, lo sichbe, and one in the pasuk before, which also says lo sichbe, you're over on two laven. The Ramban says, not only were there warnings, there was also a mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh was to keep adding wood so that it wouldn't go out. So there was a mitzvah saseh every time you put something on. That was a warning to other people to help them put it on. So yes, there's a warning to extend, not to extinguish, and there's another thing that you're supposed to actually do it to make sure that it happens. The Panim Yafo says, he didn't want to say that this is two laven for the same, that the Ramban himself didn't want to say that there were two laven for the same Isser, that really he felt that there were two different laven. There's a lav for Kohanim, not to put it out, and a lav for other people. And he said the reason why is because the Kohanim are only over on the lav if they do not add any wood to the fire, which is a lav she'en bo maisa, which shouldn't get any malchus for it. He felt that there should be another lav in which you put it out directly, where you do something that should be malchus. That could be another thing altogether. There's a Rav Chanan Wasserman in Kovitz Shirim Pesachim Kuf Yud Zayin. You can look it up yourselves. Maril Diskin says this is really a promise that was given to Klal Yisrael, that even when rain falls at night, the fires will never go out. Now, I mentioned before that I thought they had like a covering. I don't know if when the Maral Diskin says this, he's talking about the first Beis Hamikdash or the second Beis Hamikdash. And again, during the Mishkan and the first Beis Hamikdash, I totally get that promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us it's not going to go out as long as they continue their Ishtadlus. They're going to keep doing what they're supposed to be doing and everything's all good. Even though night rain is worse than day rain, you can't really see it and it goes out and it's very strong. Nonetheless, maybe that's the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fire that comes from the heavens won't be able to be there. I don't know if this promise was given even during the second Beis Hamikdash. I don't know if this continued even during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. Will the fires continue? Was that a guarantee, or was that you had to do something to stop it? I don't know, but that's the Maral Diskin. Zvachim, Tzadi Aleph Amin Aleph mentions there's a bit of an issue here. Let's say you donate wine to the Beis Hamikdash. You're supposed to do Nisachim. You're supposed to pour out the wine. Where do you pour out the wine? On the Mizbeach. But if you pour the wine on the Mizbeach, what's going to happen to the coals that are on the Mizbeach? You're extinguishing the coals. If there's a lav the Gemara says, to extinguish those coals, maybe even two lavin, according to Rashi. One lav at least, according to the Ramban, and there's an assay that you have to keep the fires going. How are you allowed to take the wine and lie it on top? I realize it's a mitzvah, but is that allowed? And the Gemara says, this is called a kiboy shel mitzvah. You can do it if it's a kiboy shel mitzvah. It's extinguishing for a mitzvah itself. In a way, we can compare that to the gerim that joined Klal Yisrael. Listen to this Medrash Rabbah. Shmosan shel gerim. Shmos and shel gerim, bring in gerim, are like wine that are brought on top of the Mizbeach. Why? Sometimes people that are brought in as gerim to Klal Yisrael are kisapachas. And that's an unfortunate reality and a truth that we all have lived by. There are times where gerim have done things to Klal Yisrael which have not been easy. They have brought Klal Yisrael down by a level. Not by many gerim that I know, Baruch Hashem, but there are gerim that have done that in the past and have done that to Klal Yisrael, and that's why they're called the sapachas. On the other hand, gerim on an extremely high level, people that decided to take away their life and what they were and become the people that they became, that's absolutely amazing. That's an unbelievably high level. So on the other hand, you could say that they were brought on top of the Mizbeach, they came on top. So the truth is, this is the idea, said the Medrash Rabbah. The wine may be extinguishing a tiny little bit of the coals on the Mizbeach, but it's an order to do a mitzvah to put the wine on top of the Mizbeach in order for them to become even greater. Granted, something might be lost at the beginning, but in the end, the Mizbeach remains the way it is, the fires remain big fires, and still there's greatness because the wine itself gets burnt up and brought up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They, so to speak, as if they come away from everything they have, and there is something involved. That's, so to speak, the mitzvah that you can do. That's something that's very, very great. That's the idea of the Medrash Rabbah based on that Gemara in Zvachim. The Pardes Yosef, also quoting the Gan Rava, says that we know that there are two ways that we connect with Shemayim. It's called Hisorus Milmala and Hisorus Milmata. The Kedushas Levi brings this up quite a bit in his Sefer, and I don't say that I'm an expert in Kedushas Levi, far from it, but he brings it up in many different places. Hisorus Milmala means there's a Hisorus up above, a Kadosh Baruch who decides it's time for the people to do tshuva, so he makes them do tshuva. Hisorus Milmata is when you yourself feel it, you want to do tshuva so badly, and you do things that cause a Kadosh Baruch to bring you more shefa. Either the shefa comes first and you have to deserve it, or we do something first and we deserve, we bring down that shefa. The former seems to be like Hanukkah. By Hanukkah, right, there was no official tshuva movement. We had to do our wars, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezakeh us to win the wars in every way possible. By Purim, we did tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us down shefa and did everything that we needed to have. He gave us everything that we were supposed to have. David HaMelech was Ma'orer HaShachar. We say that in the Gemara and Brachos, he woke up the morning. He didn't allow the morning to wake him up. He was Ma'orer the Shachar. He didn't want to rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of everything for him. He was Ma'orer the Shachar. He was had a Yisorus from down here and caused the Kadosh Baruch Hu to give him everything he needed from up above. And that's the difference. The difference between the two could be the difference between what's called Tshuva Meyira and Tshuva Me'ava. Tshuva Meyira is when you're only doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to do tshuva, so you do tshuva. You don't necessarily want to, but you're doing tshuva because you feel that that's the right thing to do. Tshuva Me'ava is when you do tshuva out of pure love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do tshuva down here, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows through. So says the Pardes Yosef, the fire that burns within you to do the right thing. When it's Esh Tamid, then it's within you first, and you burn it within you. You have Yisorus Melmata, it will keep growing and will never be extinguished. You start the fire from down below, and the fires from the heavens come down to meet your fire. You start the Yisorus Melmata, and all of a sudden there's Shefa pouring down from the heavens, because you're starting it, you're doing it. It's all based on what you do. That's the Esh Tamid we're told to have in the Mizbeach. That's the Esh Tamid they're supposed to have in certain ways. And by doing such a thing, all of a sudden you're able to have something even greater. You're able to make something happen to you. It's supposed to be an awesome feeling. And that's the Esh Tamid to Kanon Mizbeach. The Ben Ish Chai in Od Yosef Chai says there once was a non-Jew that came up to him who approached a Rav. And this non-Jew said to the Rav, and he said, I know that your God is the only real one. This is what he said to the rabbi. He said, I would like to bring a korban to him. How can I do so? Where can I do so? This is a time when there was no Beis HaMikdash. So the Rav told him simply, do it in your heart. Bring the korban in your heart. Now I know as a timeout, this kind of argues on other things that they used to say by their gedolim, that they once went to Revolbi, and they asked Revolbi, what would you do if you found out that you weren't Jewish? And he said, if I found out that I wasn't Jewish, the first thing I would do is I would bring a korban. Because a non-Jew doesn't have the limitations that we do of only bringing a korban and harabais, of kedusha rishona, kedusha losaita, kedusha lasid levo. So the first thing I would do is I would bring a korban. So that's not like this. He didn't tell the guy that. Maybe it's because he didn't trust that the guy actually believed in God. He didn't say that. But this is the idea, says the Ben Ish Chai. We may not have korbanos anymore, but tefillas have taken their place. Such an avoda can be brought daily, as long as your heart is into it. So he told that guy. The guy said, I want to bring a korban. Said the Rav, so do it in your heart. So daven properly. You don't need to bring an actual animal in order to bring a korban. You don't need that. The only thing you need to do is make sure your heart is in the right place. I'm not sure I totally understand what the Ben Ish Chai is saying, but I get the concept. The concept is you don't need a korban to have your heart in the right place in order for that to be there. And that's, again, the concept of that his orus melmata to lead to the orus melmala. The Chassam Sofer in the Torah's Moshe says, just like the Kohanim would fan the flames and make sure the flames would never go out and do it over and over and over again and put their hands over and over and over trying to make sure that things would happen, to make sure there was always a fire going in the Mizbeach. These great men were also responsible for Klal Yisrael. The Kohanim would go up to Klal Yisrael and fan them and tell them, what do you need? What can I help you with? How can I bring you up? So that if they do this properly, the fires are never lost. Every Jew has that Pintel Yid, that Eish that's within them to make sure that it's never lost. Aznayim LaTorah. Quotes the Zohar, that who says that this is a chiyuv on Klal Yisrael to keep the coal of the Torah going, that it should never be extinguished as time goes on. It should never be there. But there are two requirements in order for that to happen. You want to keep it going, you need two things. Number one, those who are learning Torah are going to need to be supported. They need to have some ability to do so. Meaning there's got to be something. And normally the learning Torah was done by the Kohanim. Shevet Levi were the ones that learned Torah. They were represented by the leaders, the rabbis that were in charge of everything. That's number one. Imen Kemachin Torah is a true thing. They have to be able to be supported. Number two, you have to keep children away from the wrong kinds of teachers that may teach them to do the wrong types of things. Again, there are some rabbeim, some teachers out there that maybe are not the right types of rabbeim or teachers for your child. I hate to say that about rabbeim, but unfortunately that's true. Every child is different. And there are certain people that you should end up taking them away. And therefore, from that, says this Naim LaTorah, two separate warnings of Lo Sichbe, meaning number one, don't extinguish the flame by stopping the fanning, by stopping going up to them, by stopping and working on them, by stopping your work of one after the other. And number two, if you are that person who has a child, make sure that the teacher that he has is fanning the flame and not extinguishing it. Make sure that it's happening in the right way and not in the wrong way. The Malaya Omer says there are two fires that cannot be extinguished. One is the fire below that we make, and the other one is the fire from up above. Now, the truth is, the fire from up above is not going to be extinguished whatsoever. The way the Malaya Omer is saying it is as if Lo Sichbe on the bottom fire, Lo Sichbe on the top fire. But again, Lo Sichbe on the top fire is almost impossible. How is that going to be? But the concept is, when we're doing so well, then of course our fire is going up. And if we're doing so well, then of course the fire is coming down. But if we don't do well, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away his fire. The Isser of Lo Sichbe, the Isser of Lo Sichabe, that you shouldn't extinguish that fire, that you shouldn't extinguish that flame, is don't do anything so badly that you're going to cause that fire to be extinguished. Don't do anything that's going to take it away. That's the concept behind it. The Berei Mayim Chaim says the Eish Tamid stands for us constantly battling our Yetzer Hara and working on ourselves. We do, though we have a constant fire within, and the Torah mentions that as well. Okay, we have two more pieces over here. The Baal HaTorah in the Moshe Zakenu says this fire was like a ladder for the Malachim, that the angels climbed up. We saw that by Gidon and by Manoach and his wife Tzalponis, when they were met by the Malach went up in the flames. So too, this is what Malachim do. Whenever we go ahead and bring a korban, the angels of Averos that we have go up the flame, up to Shemayim. They get burned up, so to speak, and they become new praklitim. They become new, I guess I can say, defenders of Klal Yisrael by you having that flame, by you bringing that korban. The Gevuras Yaakov says that one could say the Mizbeach represents Tfilah, and the fire represents Torah. You could say such a thing, and you need both in order to be successful. If you just have the Mizbeach, which is just Tefillah, if you just have the flame, which is just Torah, you will never be successful. You need the Tefillah and the Torah to be together with one another. They need them to be cohabited with one another, and that's the only way that it's going to be work out. That's the concept, says the Gevuras Yaakov, how it works together. You need both of them in order to work out together. Rabbi Yosef Nechemia says the idea of Torah and Tefillah together is really based on two different Gemaras, Nida Ayin Mabez, which says, Mayas Adam Yechkam, what should a person do in order to be wise? What should a person do in order to become a better person? Yispalami Shachach Mashalo, daven to the one who wisdom belongs to. How can a person become wise and learn Torah? By davening. Clearly, you have to do it together. As well as in Erev and Samachay, it says Shmaitza Baitzlusa, that Gemara learning takes clarity of mind. Now that, it says over there that the reason why is because they have to go inside, in other words, to stay out of the rain, right? So they're not in the rain. You can go into a base medrash in order to learn Torah properly. It's not considered using the base medrash. But there's no way you're looking at it. Tzlusa also means davening. Shmaitza, learning Torah, Baitzlusa, needs davening. That's the idea. The Eish Tamid is working both together, says Rabbi Yosef Nechemiah. And that's the only way that it goes through. The Shach brings a Zohar and a Raya Mahemna in different ways. Yalkut Ruveni in 31 and 32. The Akedah Yitzchak, the Sefer Akedah Yitzchak also brings down the amazing stuff. You can look it up. Reb Moshe says in Darash Moshe Chelek Beis that teaching students must be done with hislavos, a tremendous flame. You have to go into it showing them, not the actual learning, because the learning itself is done calmly, with a lot of rest and understanding, so that people can understand it, people can get into it, they can know what they're talking about. But the chitzonis, the outside of the learning, the getting them into it, the outward appearances, should be a flaming fire. The preparation for the shir itself, helping getting them ready, getting them into the sugya, showing how amazing it is to learn Torah, that has to be a flame, that has to be into it. And when they have time, when they're sitting there, then it's quieter, more interesting. Perspective, give them time to think, absorb, develop their thoughts properly. That's when no mistakes. I mean, it says the Darsh Moshe, that's the Eish Tamid Tukan Alim Zbeach, Lo Sikhbe. The Eish Tamid has to be there. But when they're learning, allow them to be a menorah, a simple flame that goes there that they have inside. That's the concept of the Mizbeach to the menorah itself, says Ramosha. Alinu L'Shevach brings a story of Rav Eliyahu Mishakovsky, the Roshiva of Kfar Chasidim, a great, great, great town up north in Eretz Yisrael, where there was a great yeshiva Kfar Chasidim. So he was at a wedding. Rav Eliyahu Mishakovsky, he was at a wedding of an older bachur. He was watching the dancing and all the bachurim dancing. It was an older bachur who had gotten old. He was probably 21 or something, you know, seriously old. And they were watching him dance and everything was going crazy. And everybody's dancing was so... And Rav Mishakovsky was watching this and crying, tears streaming down his face. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberberg went up to him and said to him, Rebbe, is everything okay? Are you okay? Are you feeling okay? To which he said, I'm feeling okay. Thank God, I'm feeling okay. But he had to calm down a little bit. And when he did, he looked and he said, it's a mashal. Sometimes we take steps toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Big steps. And we feel we've gone very far. Sometimes it's a few steps. Sometimes the steps are bigger than normal. And he pointed to a guy at that moment was dancing with these huge steps, massive steps, where the guy was like lifting up his leg and putting it down, lifting up his leg and putting it down. But we don't realize that it's taking us right back to the same place. That the guys are just walking in a circle. And they're coming back to the exact same spot. We think to ourselves, look, we're stepping, we're walking, we're doing what we need to do. We're taking our steps forward. Aren't we doing it perfectly? This is exactly what I'm supposed to do. And in the end, you find yourself in the exact same place. We're no better off than where we started. Only a Roshiva like Rav Mishakovsky could look at that and see such a mushel when dancing in the middle of a wedding. I am not going to go into whether it was a good idea to be sitting there and crying while everybody else is dancing. But think of the concept of what this means, to have that flame within you to constantly be fanning it and not being okay with where you are and saying, you know what, I'm done. I finished. I don't need anything else. That's never the way to do it. Rabbeinu Bechaya says there was a huge miracle that happened with the Mizbeach. It was made of acacia wood, right? This wood that was all the way down there. And it was covered with a small amount of copper. The inner Mizbeach was made of gold. The outer Mizbeach was made of copper. And according to the Medrash Tanchuma, it was the size of a dinar. A dinar is a coin. Okay, the dinar was a coin. It was not a large amount of copper, not a large amount of gold. And yet, even though the fire never went out, there was a constant fire on the Mizbeach that was always on the Mizbeach, and the Choshes on the Mizbeach as well. It never went out. The copper never burned through. The gold never burned through. There was never the fire. They never had to recoat it with bronze or copper or gold. They never needed to. He says Rabbi Mechaya, it's one of the 18 miracles that occur daily in the Beis HaMikdash. There are 10 mentioned in Perkei Avos. Yuma Chafalafim about Beis brings another 8. There's a Shiloh, which one is the 18th. But either way, regardless, that's one of the 18 miracles that happened. That's why the words are repeated here. Because it was so crazy. It was so nutty. They couldn't believe that such a thing. Lo Sich Bet, it never went out. It never went out. Can you imagine? It never went out. But Yikra Rabba says that not only did it not go out, the miracle lasted for a total of 116 years on Moshe's Mizbeach and only ended when the Mishkan went to Shiloh and they made it more permanent. I said before that it happened when they went to the Beis HaMikdash. I guess there was more permanent in the Mishkan by Shiloh itself. The Cheshbon is 39 years of the Midbar, 14 years while they conquered and divided up the land, 13 years in Nov, 50 years in Givon, until Shiloh, when the Mishkan used the stone altar and made it much, much bigger. They made it much, much bigger. In fact, they say that this Mizbech was very tiny. I would talk 2.5 feet, 2.5 amos by 1.5 am, etc. It's a very small Mizbech. How could they put all the animals on top of it? And the answer is, because the fire from above consumed it like that. You didn't need a bigger Mizbech. There was no need. You could just put it on and immediately went up. That's the idea of the Yikur Rabba. Another remez is that the Mizbech was used as a kapara. These Rishayim didn't want a kapara at all, the people that didn't bring it to. They didn't deserve an Esh Tamid. So that's why their punishment is in Gehenim, where they denied the fires of the Mizbech by not doing any tshuva. And that's the concept of what happens. Both of them are hinted to by the Gemara at the end of Chagiga, that somehow the Esh Tamid to call on the Mizbech can also be a punishment by those who don't want to bring the fire on the Mizbech, that don't want to bring a korban on the Mizbech, and what happens to them there. There were a few other miracles that happened with this fire in the Mizbech. During the first base mitzvah, it resembled a lion. In the second base mitzvah, the fire looked like a dog. Very strange idea. Number two, the fire from the above was blindingly bright like sunlight. Number three, its flames were substantial. It could not be put out by water, which is why rains never extinguish it. That must have been the above fire. Number four, it consumed not only dry items, but liquid items as well. Number five, it produced no smoke. And there was a sixth one. It did not injure the Kohanim's feet, even when they went barefoot. It didn't hurt them whatsoever when they were walking toward it. The Shla Kadosh, and we're going to end with this. In Shara Osio, Sivan Lamed brings from Ramosha Korvadero from the Ramak, the great Ramak, who's buried in Tzfas. If you go by where the Beis Yosef is buried in Tzfas, if you're coming from above, from the Arizal's mikvah, and you're going down, on the right-hand side, you'll see Rosh Shlomo Alkibitz and the Arizal, together with some other Gedolim. A little further is the Beis Yosef. If you go to the left, right after the Arizal, you're going to see a little path, and the path takes you to a little cave. Inside that cave is buried the Ramak, Moshe Corvadero. He said he heard from an older man, who we have no doubt is Eliyahu HaNavi. The Ramak was often visited by Eliyahu HaNavi. There is no question this is Eliyahu HaNavi, that if you say this pasuk, Eish Tamid to Kadal Mizbeach Lo Sichben, maybe you heard it from me tonight, where I've said it at least 3, 4, 5 times. If you say the pasuk over and over, it is Mevatal any Hirhurim Raim that you might have, any bad thoughts that a person might have. It seems to work together, says the Tiferes Torah, with another pasuk. The pasuk is Se'efim Sonesi V'Sorosko Ahavti. If you say that with tremendous yislav, with tremendous love from Shir HaShirim, right, then both of them work together. And why does it work? It seems that the whole Torah is comprised of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemos of Hashem. Every pasuk has a name that connects with that pasuk itself. For example, the pasuk of Atzmos Yaveshim, Atzmos Yaveshos, this bones that were dried up, that came back to life in the times of Yecheskel, has the shame in that pasuk that could be used to cause Tchias HaMesim. You want to do Tchias HaMesim, you have to find the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's hidden in that pasuk. Not suggested, by the way. This pasuk talks about the fires of the Mizbeach that are constantly burning, which could be mechaper by bringing an ola, which is mechaper for Hirhurim. And therefore, saying it with Kavana counts as a korban ola. It's as if a korban ola, which gets rid of bad thoughts, it's mechaper for bad thoughts, by saying this pasuk of an Eish Tamid to Karlo Mizbeach Lo Sichpeh, it gets rid of all those bad thoughts and makes your head clear completely. And maybe even adding on that other pasuk of Se'efim Sanesi V'Sarosko Ahavti. The Ksav Sofer ends off, this Shla Kadosh helps us understand the pasuk. You can look at the pasuk now and now understand it in a totally different light. If someone is a fire burning in his heart to do the right thing and keep mitzvos, that will help him from thinking the wrong thing. He will not be able to think badly. And certainly will help him not do the wrong thing. As we say, mitzvah magina umatzila, that a mitzvah is able to protect you and save you. That if you are, have that fire burning in your heart, that will help you not only do mitzvahs, but stay away from the bad things. A person can be called a mizbeach adama. You were made from the adama, you were made from the ground. That's why he's called Adam Rishon, you were given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So never extinguish that fire within you. And rather allow Habala Tayyar Messiah, allow that to be there and be Mekadosh yourself. So that help comes down from above. The Siyata Deshmaya comes down from above. And the Shla Kadosh, says the Ksav Sofer, says that burning that fire in your heart, making yourself do the right thing, allowing yourself to do mitzvahs, allowing yourself to do everything correctly, that eventually will lead you to the point of mitzvah magino matzila. The mitzvah will protect you in everything you do. And that's the concept of what it means to burn that korban ola, say this pasuk over and over again, and allow it to be your pasuk that takes away the bad thoughts that a person might have. All right, shkaich, everybody, we're going to stop.